Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our teaching on the ministry gifts and their purpose. Once again, the ministry gifts and their purpose. If you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse number 11. And it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And it says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and variety of tongues. These ministry gifts are not like worldly occupations or professions that you can choose to go into, but these gifts are given to and appointed by Almighty God. That is the very reason the responsibility and qualification of these gifts are of the highest quality. These gifts will guide you into all truths. They do not speak on their own authority, and they will glorify Jesus always. Amen. We are going to discuss the ministry gifts of a pastor. And surprisingly, the word pastor is only mentioned once in the King James translation of the New Testament. And that's in Ephesians 4:11. This might seem a little strange when we realize that the office of a pastor is probably the most widely recognized office in Christian ministry today. The word pastor means to tend to, as a shepherd, to feed, to rule, one who tends herds of flocks, not merely one who feeds them. Pastors guide as well as feed the flock. Go to Acts chapter 20. Again, that's Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And it says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." So the pastor tends to the flock, the people, exercising the oversight, which involves tender care and vigilant superintendence of God's people. Amen. Now, the Greek word translated pastor literally means shepherd. It is also translated referring to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the greatest example of a true pastor or shepherd. Turn to the book of John, chapter 10. Again, that's John, chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 11. And it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Jesus is speaking here, and he refers to himself as the good shepherd. And that simply means, or referring to, that there could be a bad shepherd. But Jesus is the good shepherd. And a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 13. And we're going to read verse number 20. And it says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Now please go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. And it says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Now you're there in 1 Peter, go to chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read verse number 4. And it says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Jesus is mentioned in these three scriptures as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd of all of God's sheep. Amen. Or of God's people. Our Lord Jesus has also under shepherds. A pastor is an under shepherd of a flock. A pastor is a shepherd of God's sheep in the local church. He calls men and equips them to shepherd or pastor a flock or congregation. Shepherds are necessary for the maturing and equipping of the saints. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Again, Romans, chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 14 and 15. And it says, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. Amen. The pastor has oversight over the flock, and Jesus brings, being the great shepherd, he is the head, the overseer of the whole church, the body of Christ. The pastor is the under shepherd. He is the head or the overseer of the local flock or congregation. Amen. Notice that pastor was not mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. But the word administrations was listed. And in this list of ministry gifts that God has set in the church, administrations, I believe, is the pastor's office. We have to remember that everything rises and sets on leadership. And in this case, the pastor is the leadership of the local church. It is important to understand that the early church started out as a baby church. Babies always, whether spiritually or in the natural, outgrow babyhood characteristics. But it takes time to do that. It is not a quick process. In the early Pentecostal movement in this century, in some instances, almost of necessity, the church had to revert back to babyhood stage of government as in the Acts of the Apostle. Amen. The older pioneers would go into areas where there were no full gospel churches for many miles. I was reading in preparing this message where one man preached all summer in one place, and he got 285 people saved and about 90 of them baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. He was an evangelist. He was not a pastor. Let me repeat. He was an evangelist. He was not a pastor. But he stayed with them for 3 months, running meetings every night for them. And he got a church established. When he left, there was no pastor available. So he appointed some of the older men to oversee the flock until a pastor was developed by God and placed in the church. Sometimes it was 2 or 3 years before some of these new flocks were able to receive a pastor. In order to have fed the church of God with the word, these people must have been teachers who were spiritually equipped to feed the flock. Remember, I told you that teachers don't necessarily have to preach, but they should be spiritually equipped to feed the flock. Amen. They could not have been just older persons who oversaw what was happening, but had no anointing or call to the ministry. But over the course of time, some of these elders or older men were put over the flock, did develop into ministry gifts because they had the call of God on their lives. Amen. They were put into one of these ministry gifts because they had a call in their lives. God made ministers out of them. Please go to Acts chapter 20. Again, that's Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And it says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Amen. The picture given in the Bible for the pastoral office is that of a shepherd and a flock. The shepherd is the leader of the flock. The shepherd does not get up in the morning, assemble the chief sheep together, and get their opinion as to where they are going to graze today. No, the shepherd has the oversight of the sheep. He is the overseer of the flock. When he heads out, the flock follows. It is the only duty of the flock to support the pastor. But the pastor is not to serve for filthy lucre. Amen. His intentions must be to serve God and to put the people first. Amen. Now let me repeat that. The pastor is not to serve for filthy lucre or money. Lucre means to profit for money, often with negative meaning, implying something obtained dishonestly or immorally. So the pastor is not to serve for filthy lucre. His intentions must be to serve God's people and to put the people first. Amen. The pastor is one of, if not the most important office. Without the ministry gifts operating in the body of Christ, then all the other ministry is practically in vain. Amen. So that lets us know that the office of the pastor has great responsibility. No matter how great the evangelist is and how many he gets saved, if there is not someone to shepherd the lambs, to pastor and take care of them into the things of God, they are apt to fall by the wayside. Amen. This is the way in the natural realm also. No matter how many babies are born in a hospital, if there is not a nurse or an assistant or a doctor to nurture them, they will die. God has given much attention in the New Testament to the pastoral office. Virtually all instruction is given to the apostle, but they have very little instruction as to what their duties are. No instruction is given to the evangelist. Little instruction is given to the other offices. But when you consider that elder, the overseer, and the bishop are all referring to the pastoral office, more direct instruction is given to the office of pastor than to any other office. There is not a higher or more respected or more needed office in which God could call you than to minister and to be a pastor. It is a noble cause. It is the Holy Spirit who makes men overseers, not man. Let me repeat that again. It is the Holy Spirit who makes men overseers, not man. I told you that God has called people, and the people he calls, he equips. And God has provided supernatural equipment for the pastor. The pastor should be equipped with supernatural equipment. Amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, it tells us that the gift of the Spirit can be manifested in the lives of individual members of the body of Christ only as the Spirit wills. But I am also convinced that these supernatural gifts are the supernatural equipment for those who stand in the office of these ministry gifts. Amen. I also believe that the pastor should be equipped with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and even with tongues and interpretations of tongues. And I believe that if he is not, if he will ask for that spiritual equipment, he will receive it. Amen. What God has done and given to one, he will give to another. For God is not a respecter of person, and all things being equal. Amen. Please go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. And it says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. Amen. God shows no partiality or takes a bribe. Now go to the book of Acts chapter 10. Again, Acts chapter 10. Verse 34, and it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. So God shows no partiality. What he does for one, he's obligated by his word to do for another. Now, sometimes those gifts, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and tongues, and the interpretations are not as spectacular on display through the pastor as it might be through the prophet, although they are in operation. See, many people are looking for the spectacular and they miss the message. Let me repeat that. Many people are looking for the spectacular and they miss the message. Amen. See, we are, as humans, are visual. We like to see things. So instead of understanding the word of God and receiving it by faith, they want something spectacular to happen and they miss the message. God wants us to walk by faith and not by sight, especially those of us who live in the United States, in a country that has been tremendously blessed and built on the principles of God. Sure, we have our problems, but Satan is still here, and he is still using his bag of tricks and deception to deceive the people. But through all that, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, and we are more than conquerors. Amen. More than conquerors. The Spirit of God has equipped the New Testament church with supernatural ability, supernatural power, and supernatural gifts. He equips the men and women God has called to the ministry, them to stand in their office supernaturally. Expect God to help you. Expect God to train you. Train you, train your spirit to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Expect the Holy Spirit to manifest himself through you, to use you for his glory. Listen to him. Yield to him. You should be in the mode of expectancy. You should always expect to receive something from the Lord. Amen. One of the most outstanding characteristics of a pastor is a shepherd's heart. The shepherd's heart is a gift from God, given to the local body, given to the pastor for his love for the flock and to feed the sheep. It takes the pastor's heart to see after baby Christians, to love and nurture them, to nourish them in the word, and to bear with them when they first start trying to walk spiritually, because Satan is going to try everything he can and everything he has to keep that person from becoming strong in the faith. Thank God for those who have a shepherd's heart and who love people. They are loyal to the flock, sometimes even to the expense by depriving themselves of some of the simple pleasures of life in order to serve their congregation. Amen. We have to have and understand how to have a shepherd's heart. People understand love. Even an old dog understands love. People may not understand tongues, but they understand love. Amen. And sometimes you have to prove to people that you love them. You have to prove to people that you love them. Pastors must show love to the people because God is love. The greatest example of a shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself. Remember what he said in John 10:11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Amen. Well, you know what? I'm about out of time, but I'm certainly not out of message. But please join us next week when we will continue our study on the last ministry gifts, and that is the ministry of a teacher. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It simply says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.